It's pretty rowdy.
It's rowdy, rowdy.
Welcome.
So, when are you going to do? Well, you were letting me. I was going to let you.
That's right. So, Mark's
behind the wheel. Okay. We're going to talk about They Live. It's like a teaser. You know, it started off with a bang. I mean, come on. We got Rowdy Roddy Piper, John Carpenter at his finest.
Absolutely.
You got robot alien monster things.
Okay.
Now we got to talk about Carlito Brigante, and he's reformed. He's rehabilitated. He's reinvigorated.
To a degree.
Though there's no wind left in his sails because he's getting old.
Yeah.
Got to start thinking about families and careers.
Settle down.
Be a family man.
Mm-hmm.
Streets aren't for him anymore.
Nope. Changed.
He changed. He tried.
The streets changed too.
The streets did change.
No, he didn't many change screen, that much. No, he just got tired.
No marijuana.
Yeah.
No music he could dance to. It was all coke
and craziness.
Hot dance and platforms and disco and punks. Like Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah.
He was a real fucking punk.
He was pretty punky.
That's probably the most irritating thing about the whole movie was the fact that he survived. Though, if you think ahead about these things.
Yeah, you know he's going to get hit.
You know he's going to get hit.
But here's the thing you also know. You know he's going to settle and become like the next Carlito. Now, as much as Carlito may insist that he was never like him.
He probably was. But then again, it was a different time. There really was a little more...
That was
really when things started changing, where it became more meme.
It's the whole Godfather thing too, with
right?
The dope
exactly.
And stuff. You know, once the harder drugs come in, and
exactly that. You know, that's really what happened to Kleinfeld.
The drugs consumed him,
and
his insecurities about being like a punk kid, being scared of the mob, and dealing like not being wanting to be a tough, wanting to seem like he's got the respect of these guys that he's representing, but just being sort of a balding.
Well, a lot of those guys
squiggly.
Did you ever listen to Henry Hill? Henry Hill. I don't know how many times in that commentary with the U.S. attorney, he kept mentioning. Reiterating the fact that all those guys were either fucking dead or they were doing 100 fucking years in the joint.
Well, yeah.
And he said that I don't know how many times. And, yeah, so it's just not...
There's one of two ways out for you once you're in, you know?
Pretty much.
So at the same time, that's kind of true for
Bonanno.
Everybody else in life.
There was old man Bonanno. He actually, retired to Arizona or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his revenge also because he wrote this tell-all book. And I think it might have been Giuliani latched onto it and used that book as a basis for a whole shitload of indictments. But we've kind of gotten outside the point. As far as I know, not a true story. It said it was
based on two novels.
Books.
Yeah,
two
written
novels.
By the same guy. One was called Carlito's Way, and another one was called... It was something that sounded odd and different. So either it was a combination of these two stories. I'm not sure why, because unless one is about the lawyer and one is about Carlito, and they decided they could combine the two, or unless they really are a series of books.
Did you catch the author?
No. I mean, I didn't recognize the author's name.
Well, you're saying it was kind of like a noir.
Yeah. No. The story is definitely the thing about it is, and I always forget this, and I'd never seen the film all the way through, but from the cover with just Al Pacino and the way Al Pacino dresses and looks, you don't realize that it's a period film. It's set in 1975. And
right.
For a little bit, you kind of don't, at the beginning where it's in a courtroom and everyone's just wearing suits and stuff, there's really not a lot of evidence of it. It's sort of a slow burn to you realizing as he's walking through the streets, and the set design sort of alludes that everybody else is dressed like the 70s, but Pacino kind of possesses a certain kind of style in this role that doesn't
It's probably the same shit he's been wearing for the last 15 years.
Yeah, it doesn't reek of 70s. He's got his leather jacket and his slacks, and he's, you know, doing his thing. His sunglasses are kind of 70s, I guess, maybe?
Yeah,
his
sunglasses
But those are hip again now, so it just shows you all that shit cycles.
I know, I was looking at new sunglasses when I was in Colorado, and, yeah, Ray-Ban's just not making anything right now I particularly like. Mm-hmm. So I'll just have to wait it out, I guess.
I always just get sunglasses at the dollar store because I sit on them anyway, you know?
I've managed to hold on to this pair for 3 or 4 years now.
That's good. That's
though they are like almost the exact replacement of the pair that I had previously that fell off the truck when I was up on Horse Mountain.
Yeah.
Because that asshole fucking backed into my buddy's truck and knocked him off the roof. And I forgot about him.
Not okay.
Because of the accident. No, it was not okay. But...
But you let it go and you let him live, and in that case, it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't come back for you.
He was a real piece of shit.
Anyway, so the basic story for Carlito is he gets out of his five years instead of 30. He thought he was buried. He'd given up on his life. He'd given up on his girl and everything else.
A lot of push-ups, a lot of reading,
and a lot of wasted time.
Worked on his appeal.
And Sean Penn's character gets him out. Sean Penn's character is this lawyer for him, and. So he's their best friends, kind of like, yeah, I owe you big time, and I, you know, helped you when you were coming up. But everything's changed, and he slowly starts to see this, Carlito. He says he's going to go straight, and you know what, he means it. And he, as an audience member, you're watching it, and you're kind of like, I don't know, is he really, at what point are things going to change? Is he going to be dragged back in? He gets kind of dragged in places here or there, but he, for the most part, manages to avoid it, but... It's got the noir element, it's got the samurai element, and the western element of, like, the man with the debt, and the honor, and the thing he has to do, and the sense of obligation to the Sean Penn character, who's not a good guy, who's, you know, become a coke fiend, and a dingbat, and unreliable, and dishonest, and everything. Well, he's a mob lawyer, what do you expect, but...
Right.
So he has to just do him one or two favors to sort of make it right for himself before he can go off to paradise and, you know, rent cars with a friend of his who we never see and we never really hear from. So it's like maybe it's a pipe dream or maybe it's real. It's kind of inconsequential, though, just the idea of having some idea of why.
Well, the fact that he was raising the $75,000 seemed kind of real.
Well, no. I don't, in my mind, have any doubt that Pacino believed that that was what he was going to do, but the question is, since we never see any evidence of this other guy, this other character that was in the writing suit or anything?
We see Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah, but that's...
We should spend more time talking about him. Well,
sure. I mean, just saying that they never really tell us one way or the other if the Paradise... rental car thing is on the up and up and is actually something that's going to happen for him. You know, a friend writes him a letter once and says, hey, you should come down and check this out.
Yeah, maybe he's like another Feingold.
Maybe he's just disappearing.
Maybe,
you know?
He's really running coke.
Sure.
The Bahamas.
Yeah, you never know. Exactly.
You never know. That'd be a bummer.
Exactly. So he reconnects with his old
horse, though.
He reconnects with his old lady. Yeah. Speaking of that, yeah, he reconnects with his old lady and they have a few little, you know, chats, and I mean, the film is kind of ham-fisted in some places and kind of hokey in some places, but it is a noir. It's a neo noir. Brian De Palma directed, so there's some good, interesting camera work.
Lots of zooms,
but there's zooms. There's things that I don't care for, but that, you know, like have their place in certain things. And there's also kind of a tonally, some oddness. It's got a few like funny lines in it that are almost played like comedically, which I like. And I mean, the film
like
is
Sasso.
Yeah, the film is not perfect, but it's pretty good, and it's a solid neo noir. You know what you're going to get for the most part, but you do get like it's to me it's more interesting than just like a straight up crime story where like the. Because the Pacino character would be different if it were a crime story. He'd be harder edged and more gritty inside. And he's not. He's very, like, easygoing. And he really conveys this idea of a guy that's just tired of that life. Like he says...
Well, he had a lot of time to think about
it. Yeah, after 5 years of being in the slammer and now being free, miraculously, he's like, I'm burned out. I don't want to do this. I don't have the energy. He literally doesn't have the energy to, like, you know, dance a bunch with this girl. But he's fine with her to do it. And he's not, like... He doesn't have this, like, false bravado and insecurity about it.
And the only thing that he really... That that
it was reminiscent of the old him, maybe, was the scene where he's eating a game hen and he just decides, he's like, I'm done with this Blanco guy. He could have played that so differently and just let it go. And that's when he decides, don't fuck that guy, you know? Like, he turns into kind of his old self in that one scene, and then it comes back and bites him in the ass.
Maybe he sees himself in that guy and doesn't like it.
I think he does, but I think he also just doesn't love his first initial meeting with the guy. And that's a good lesson for anyone to take in life. It's like, you have a bad first impression with someone, you can decide not to like them, but the question is, how do you decide to approach them from now on? Because who knows? It could have just been a bad first impression and they're not that bad. Or it could be
Blanco's
in that case he was, but you're better off by just doing your best to just ignore and not care and blow off and but not be actively like fuck him. Once you say fuck him, then you committed to caring. You know what I mean? You've committed to
exactly. Animosity. Either should have whacked him, or he should have played along.
Yeah, just let it go. Just eat your game hen. Just go back to eating the game hen. And
yeah, because Benny Blanco, he did, even being a punk, he did give him a lot of opportunities to be cordial.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what... I mean, he kind of played it with some kind of that, like, mafioso or criminal underworld respect thing. And so, yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, the screenplay is definitely noir formula, and it does have some other pieces in it. It's about half an hour too long, easily. I could cut 40 minutes out of it pretty easily, I think, just by parring some scenes down. And I'd cut out a few things at the beginning. It starts to like tell you how it's going to end in kind of a very noir way, where, you know, like a Sunset Boulevard, kind of like, oh, you know what's going to happen to this character at the end. And to me, it seems kind of inexplicable, because it's not like there's some kind of strange new reveal that you get everything. If you see all the characters that are going to be involved in that scene at the end, and so it answers all kinds of other questions. Like, it answers that if he's going to get back together with the girl, it answers who's going to be the one to finally do him in. And I mean, they try to kind of hide that a little, but that's not very well hidden.
Right.
So, I mean, in my opinion, it's like, you could cut out that opening, or part down to him just, like, looking at the thing and keep it tight, and you don't know what's wrong with him, and he's just talking.
Oh, we haven't even talked about Steffi.
Stephanie, yeah. Or Steffi or whatever. Yeah, she was a big part of the problem in some places.
Big part of the problem.
But, and then there's another scene that, I guess the whole point of that scene was just to give him some seed money so that he could buy in on this club. I thought about it and thought, you know, there's no real consequences to the actions, to the, like, the dire situation that he's in early on in the movie.
Right.
I mean, it kind of demonstrates that he's still got some street smarts, but it seems to happen so quickly and inexplicably that you think, well, this is going to maybe matter later, and it really never does, unlike other things that happen later in the movie that then do end up mattering.
Right.
That one just felt... So that whole scene felt like it, like, didn't need to exist other than to give him the money. That's the only thing he gets out of that. And then that itself is still got to give you a question. It's like, well, that money came from somebody somewhere, and they're going to want to know where it is. So, I mean, that's just where the screenplay has some weaknesses for me. But, I mean, I write those off to a degree, because, I mean, the performances by Pacino and Penn are really solid. Viggo Mortensen has the one scene that he comes in that's pretty good. It's kind of funny, and because it's just pathetic. Sad. Yeah. It's got a little bit of humor in it, and it's got...
But he got his legs back. He got his legs back in Hidalgo.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. The music is not...
I didn't understand the music.
I thought
some of the
70s really
music was all right.
Some of the 70s music was like, oh, hey, it's the 70s, so it is.
Right.
Some of the other choices in the music, like the use of You Are So Beautiful, the Joe Cocker, like, seemed... It just didn't work.
I don't think it was Joe Cocker.
Well, whoever it was, it didn't work.
It wasn't Michael Bolton either.
No. And then the chase sequence at the end, which is just way too long. I think it's just De Palma, like, just having to do something more suspenseful in a film that didn't really need that. And
with the grossly obese.
Yeah, with the morbidly obese guys. I kept thinking it was going to have a heart attack, but didn't. Like, they set it up like he was totally going to do that. Like, I thought that instead of that gunfight at the end, he was just going to be, like, about ready to yell, like, that he sees him and just keel over.
The
Well, they played him for laughs, like, five times already, too, you know? in it. It's such a strange movie, and the music in that scene is just seems so incorrect. It's kind of a mess tonally in a few places, which could totally write people off. They could see it if you went into it thinking, oh my god, this is probably like an epic crime drama, Al Pacino style. If you went into it with that attitude, then
it really isn't. You know, you could be pretty disappointed. I wouldn't even bother comparing it to The Godfather or Godfather 2.
Oh, no, it's not that kind of movie.
The closest thing, I guess, would be comparing it to Donnie Brasco, because you can't really compare it to Scorsese. Because
you can compare it to other De Palma Pacino fare, like Scarface, to a degree. And that
Scarface made a whole lot of sense.
It's much more toned down, though, obviously.
The Scarface went so much faster.
Yeah, it does go faster.
That was the thing I never understood either. It's like, what the hell happened to the middle of the movie?
Yeah, I didn't like that it skips.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of the underwear gnomes. Yeah. It's like, basically, they just skip.
They just show the montage where he takes it to the limit, you know?
Takes it to the limit.
It's hand over fist.
That works.
He's got the indoor hot tub with the shag carpet.
That worked. That worked in Blow.
Yeah.
Where they had the montage.
Usually you have to do a montage one way or the other. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Seen Blow either, have you?
No, I don't know if I care.
You really do, because it's a better movie than Carlito's Way.
But no, just to kind of close this Carlito thing, it's a perfect character for that period of Pacino where he's a little big, but he's not insanely big. And, I mean, he's the biggest in the first 5 minutes, and he's the funniest in the first 5 minutes in terms of his zany, like, courtroom theatrics. But then, and so you might think, oh my god, what is this? Is this going to be this the whole time? But then it tones it way down.
He is pretty toned down.
And the character is very focused, and the character is...
He's got a mission.
Yeah, and the mission is, like, very relatable. I mean, it's just like he just wants to find something that...
He's got a second chance, and he wants to make good.
And what I like about it is that it doesn't play him so much as an anti-hero. He's not... I mean, you can...
He's really not a bad guy.
You can compare... Well... That's the thing, though. You can compare him to the William Money character from Unforgiven in the sense that, like, well, he's a reformed whatever that was bad, and now he's not.
Yeah, but William Money was a whole... Well, was really a different character.
They said it... Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying in this one respect, the idea of a protagonist that is the... that did bad things, and now he's not doing...
Because William... Well, the way you kind of get it for... And, of course, it's like, how can you really...
How do you know either
make a like a drug kingpin relatable in an ordinary kind of way, like just everyday Joe trying to make his way, whereas and that's kind of difficult, but at the same time it's kind of what he's become to a certain extent. You know, he's trying to stay legit, and he's not about killing people anymore. He's not about dealing heroin or coke or whatever.
But that's just it, like the consequences of those actions and the actual... I was always...
It catches up to you.
I was unclear the whole time as to, like, well, was this guy... I mean, at least in Unforgiven, they said, like, murderer of women and children. And they never really said with Carlito...
She
hinted at, like, well, you've killed people maybe, right?
And to survive.
He
kind of
talks about, like... You know,
the character... Clint Eastwood's character in Unforgiven, it makes him out to be a psycho. It sounded like... I mean, they talk about how the guys they ran with...
He got the drink in him.
The guys that they ran with either didn't like him or were scared shit of him because he was a psycho.
Because of the drink.
He was like Michael Madsen in freaking...
Reservoir
Dogs. Exactly. That's a good one. Picture they portray where you don't get that... He's more business, more methodical. He's not just a mad dog killer.
Yeah.
He's a businessman. And sometimes in the drug business... You gotta kill people. Or work in the streets, you gotta kill people.
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm not so much saying that component of it, I'm just saying that in terms of watching a movie with a character, it's primarily a character movie, I mean, both of them are, what you're dealing with is this character who did bad things in the past, and not being clear as to how his behavior now is reflective of how bad his behavior may have been.
Well, we know he changed.
Yeah, we
know
that.
That's really
what we know. But the way he phrases it, which seems so authentic to me, is...
Which was different than Unforgiven also. I don't even know where the hell that came from. I guess because you brought up the anti-hero.
Well, no, I brought up...
The interesting thing about Unforgiven and Clint Eastwood is how he keeps relating to his good wife and how she...
Yeah.
She
cured him of the drink.
Cured him of the wickedness of drinking and killing and all that kind of shit. And he just keeps repeating that, like he doesn't really believe it. Like,
yeah.
It never really, you know, he really is the same person. He just got old.
Yeah, well, yeah, he
still had absolutely no problem killing people.
No, not really. I mean, that was the whole thing that made Unforgiven such a great movie.
And that makes...
He just picks the bottle up when he decides and has a swig and then goes
in. Because also, you know, another interesting difference is William Money's killing people for money. It's not self-defense. Anybody that Carlito Brigante killed in the movie was purely for self-defense.
Oh, well, that's different. I'm not talking about the
one opportunity he had to kill somebody outside of self-defense, he let him go.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the part of the character that you don't get except through exposition, which is the past, which is the criminal part for both of them.
Well, maybe. Really. You know, they did do another one.
What?
It was some crap.
They did a straight for sequel. Yeah, when I bought
this, it took me a while to find it.
Uh-huh. And you found it
because
in a 2-pack?
Because they kept... Now, I don't think there was a 2-pack, but there was some sort of... like Carlito's Way to bullshit.
Nice.
I don't remember if it's like about his youth or what the fuck it was, but there was another one.
Oh, man.
I don't think it had anybody in it. It was just
straight
some stupid
to DVD.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
And I wasn't interested at all. Maybe I should take another look at it. I remember not being interested in it when I looked at it, but maybe it does have some decent people in it. There's something to it. I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway, the character...
But have you seen Donnie Brasco?
No, I've seen parts of it.
Parts of it? Damn.
I'm not a huge crime guy. I'm trying to say that what I like about this movie is the character. And the character is different. The character is not the trusting schlub that then is betrayed, or the insecure dingbat weasel guy that gets in over his head, or any of that. It's a guy that's just honest about life and himself and just says, look, I'm
tired. I love his speeches about when he's talking to Sean Penn. About how he crossed over. He's not a lawyer anymore.
Yeah.
He's not an upstanding.
Yeah, you're a gangster now.
It's a whole different set of rules.
And you don't get to start late.
And you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. No, that was good. Because it demonstrated like I understand this stuff and I'm done with it. I'm burned out on it. I can't handle it anymore.
Because you can't see the angles anymore.
And when you gotta get out. And so that is a much more interesting noir protagonist to me than... Well, the detective is always my favorite if you're gonna go with archetypes. And the sniveling fucking dingbat that's over his head, half the time that is the detective in some of the more subversive...
Or in Righteous Kill, which you brought up earlier, it's both.
Yeah, there's that, and Righteous Kill Us, who cares? But,
you know, wasn't John...
John Leguizamo was in Righteous Kill.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think Donnie Wahlberg was in Righteous Kill. And
right, he was the other cop.
The other cop. And those two guys are partnered in that.
Man, there was a lot of... And Brian Dennehy?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to start crying again. Yeah, so much potential.
Probably going to be his last role, too. I don't think Dennehy's been in anything since then.
So much potential.
Well, except it was John.
I heard he was in something. What the fuck was it?
Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, that's like... I mean, I'd give Carlito's Way like a 3.5 out of 5, I think. Maybe almost a 4. But
just for Sean Penn, I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah,
Sean Penn and Al Pacino were solid. Pretty much all the acting was solid. Penelope Ann Miller, as much as I like her, wasn't my favorite role of hers. I prefer her much more in... Awakenings. I really liked her in that. Just the sort of sad romance, or sad little relationship she had with Robert De Niro before coming in and out of his coma.
Before he wanted to take a walk. I just want to take a walk. I'm just going to take a walk. I'm just going to... Yeah, the hokey strings and everything. They did some of that in Carlito's Way, too, at the end. Like, you can't die till
really
I say so, Riggs, you know?
Yeah, he just gets very grandiose. Which, this was more down-to-earth movie.
It was definitely
more... It worked in Untouchables because it was so over-the-top.
Yeah, Untouchables, I was going to say
it
that.
It was the early 30s.
Yeah.
It was bootleg and Prohibition, Al Capone.
Exactly.
Beating people to death with baseball bats. Frank Nitti.
Hey, Mister.
Hanging in the car.
Yeah, and so you got to throw Billy Drago off the roof.
You got to throw Billy Drago off the roof.
and reference like the Odessa Steps and Battleship Potemkin and whatnot. No, I mean, and that's often my
We do that one?
Problem. No.
No, I don't think we did either.
But that's often my problem with De Palma. I like some of the stuff he does, and he's got some talent.
I love that movie.
But I'm one of those people that is super aware of all that camera stuff. I mean, zooms just kill it for me most of the time. And
I mean, when you start doing
weird stuff with like the dolly and you know, cranes and things, and you start
zooms are more of like a horror movie thing. I was just thinking of the classic, and I think he took that from like Hitchcock or something. Steven Spielberg and the classic Jaws zoom.
Oh well, that's a zoom dolly.
He pulls the camera back and zooms in.
I think it's a dolly in and a zoom out.
Zoom out, okay.
And so it compresses the space because... Or no, it might be a zoom in and a dolly out. I mean, that's a pretty nifty trick to... You can get away with using about once every
other movie. We did do Jaws. Every other movie. We did that fun.
Yeah, we did that.
I think I gave that a 5. I had to.
Yeah, I gave it pretty high. You were all like mad at me for like talking about how it was like the proto sci-fi movie, which it pretty much is.
Sci-fi movie.
I mean, it
sci-fi.
No. I mean, we're not going to do this. It's on
because
that.
Because it's like Alien.
Listen to the Jaws podcast. It's a sheriff. It's a sheriff. A small town. A monster. A couple of kids.
The chief of police
and stuff. No, I know.
He can do whatever he wants.
It's all of those pieces that are in every other
side. Oh, Fred Murray? Yeah. Oh, shit. Something Murray.
Fred McMurray? He's not
No, there. Murray... Oh,
my two dads? What?
No, the Father mayor. Murray something.
Yeah.
I really like that. This is a tough guy. It really is.
Did a good job.
I'm not sure.
Little pillows on the bed.